Hey everybody, welcome to the Catholic Influencers Podcast. A conversation to help Catholic influencers like you and me go deeper and further in influencing our world for Jesus. I'm your host, Father Rob Gallia.
And I'm your co-host, Danny Sullivan.
And today we look forward to talking to you about gluttony and food addiction. What did you have for lunch?
Well, I was just thinking that I quickly looked at my watch and I haven't had lunch yet, but it's 3 p.m.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. So I think I'm actually the opposite sometimes of food. Like I just forget to eat. And when I was traveling overseas recently, my friend that I was traveling with got so annoyed because it would get to like midday, 2 o'clock, and she'd be like, Danny, can we please have breakfast now? And I'm like, oh yeah, we'll go do that. That's a smart idea.
Yeah.
I just forget.
Well, I do intermittent fasting, so I usually eat my first meal at about 11 o'clock.
And did you?
It was a bit later today. But that's because I ate later yesterday. I've spent the weekend 2 days in Sydney speaking at a... That was good. Yeah, a little intense. I think too intense. Either I'm getting older or the work is getting more intense. You're nodding at the getting older part. But I think it's getting more intense.
You're getting older, which I understand you're not that much older than me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like to make fun of you.
That's right. But it was an intense, really intense few days. But we even had one of our musicians pass out on the plane from exhaustion on the way back.
If he's listening to this.
I didn't say if it was a he or a she. You just gave that part away. Gosh,
your band is all, mostly, the traveling band is all male.
Yeah, it is.
But if you are listening, Father Rob's not laughing at you.
I'm laughing with you.
With you.
Well, but it was good. No, intense few days. So yeah, I ended up eating very late last night, and so I had to extend my meal. And the reason I intermittent fast is for a fat burn reason, health reason, and also self-control reason. Okay. So, and this is what we're going to talk a little bit about today, gluttony and food addiction, which is something that is more common than we often realize. But it's strange. And one of the reasons I want to talk about it is because it affects people's lives so much, you know, any type of addiction. But food addiction is something that's somehow, sometimes socially acceptable. It's something that we can do.
Is gluttony the same thing as food addiction?
Well,
Or is that what we're supposed to talk about now?
Yeah, no, it's good. Look, they're not exactly the same thing, but I suppose gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins, okay? Here's where we put the, wait, hold on, I think we have, it's one of the seven deadly sins. Well,
it's like you with this machine is like a kid with a new toy.
Like, yeah.
Let me push the extra buttons.
There you go, look, like for example, if you say something good. That's funny. That's good.
Okay. Everything I say is funny.
No. Everything you say would have this.
Unbelievable. Back in the day, my boss used to respect me and be kind to me.
That's so old-fashioned.
That was my old job, not this job.
So, yeah, people are more and more aware of their health today more than ever before. But at the same time, obesity is the highest it has ever been. While many do exercise, the problem very often is not about exercise because many people, there are so many gyms. Like, I'm a member of a gym, a gym franchise that has 2,000 locations just in Australia. No, I think it's 800 locations in Australia. Bendigo, where we come, there are like 15, 16 gyms all around. So we're like, there's a lot of gyms everywhere. People are aware that they need to exercise, but I don't think they understand that it is, Danny, I've said it several times, it is what?
Oh my gosh. It's 80% diet, 20% exercise.
80% diet and 20% exercise. And people sometimes justify their eating because they've done their exercise. So it's a look at gluttony, food addiction is obviously mostly connected with what goes into our mouths. And so we weren't designed to eat constantly. You know, our bodies were designed to balance between eating and fasting. And we
hunting,
were
hunting, gathering.
So they'd like lions, for example, they'd hunt, they'd eat, and then they wouldn't eat for a few days, weeks.
Sleep
even.
For a while.
Yeah, sleep for a while. Do lions hibernate?
No.
I don't think so. Those are bears.
I'm really excited for the new Lion King, though.
When is that coming out? When?
Yeah, this month. It's got Donald Glover, Beyonce, everybody.
Okay, I still have to watch the Whole New World one. What's that called? Aladdin.
Oh,
I want to watch that.
The Whole New World one.
So muscles. Muscles.
Aladdin.
I have my notes here. That's really, this muscles. Okay. So, but this is true. We exercise a lot. But the thing is, there are people there who are not active. They're not active physically.
But they've got the active wear.
They've got
the gym membership.
Yeah. But
they get the Instagram posts.
Yeah. And that's right. And so most gyms make their money from people who never actually go to the gym.
New Year's resolutions.
Yep. New Year's resolutions, people. But the thing is that we were meant to burn fat. And muscles are created. We're designed to burn fat. And the problem is if people don't exercise, they're starting to store a lot of fat. And so ultimately the problem comes down to gluttony. And what is gluttony? Gluttony is having a craving for food that conquers you. So it's, I'd say by that definition, it's connected with addiction. That who's boss? You know, when the craving is boss, then it becomes an addiction. And that's what gluttony is. We cannot say no, even though we can say no. So I suppose addiction is where we lose the control. But anyway, we're not here to define this stuff, but I think they're very much connected. Danny, if you could read for us 1 Corinthians 6:12.
All right, I'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. So that's like about moderation, yeah?
Yeah.
So about like, I guess you can eat what you want, as long as it's not overeating.
Yeah. And so it's about having everything and not being afraid. It's not that chocolate is bad or sweets are bad.
Chocolate's very good, I would say.
But it's in moderation, like sort of, I know that I have, for example, I don't know if anyone who's listening is like me. I cannot just have a teaspoon of Nutella. I have to have the whole tub. I can't. I cannot be moderate when it comes to chocolate. So I have to buy small bars, you know, or small jars of Nutella. And I have one.
You have like a tiny little jar on your desk.
It's not very tiny though.
Yeah, it's not tiny enough that you should eat it all at once.
But you haven't
even opened it.
No, because if I take it out of my office, it's going to be eaten in like half a sitting.
You can bring it into this office.
I can, but and then what if I want that?
No, you don't get it.
if it stays there for more than 6 months, you can have it. Okay.
Generous.
It won't be expired. So it's about having things in moderation, knowing what we can and what we cannot eat. So eating chocolate, eating Nutella is not bad, but having it in moderation. Again, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:27.
All right. And this one says, but I punish my body and enslave it so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified.
So it's about having your body in control.
Yeah. So I guess not having the food and those cravings be the winner.
Yeah.
Not letting them control you.
Exactly. So when you eat, you tell your body how much it is to eat. Don't let it tell you when it is satisfied. Because very often, actually, biologically, if you eat very fast, for example, you don't realize how full you are. But also it comes to exercise as well. Mm-hmm. It's self-control. And that's why I train every day. Whether I feel like it or not, even though the last 2 days I didn't, because literally we're not given time to exercise, but I walked a lot. I did 14,000 steps at least a day. So I'll do that whistle again. It's a good one.
I mean, like the first thing you said when you came into the office today was like, oh, I haven't been to the gym in 2 days. I really want to go.
Yeah.
Like, I train every day.
I do train every day, generally.
No, you do.
But there are days that I don't, when I really, really cannot. But it becomes a habit, a good and healthy habit. And I'd say 30, 40, even 50% of the time, I don't feel like going to the gym. It's a real effort to get out, to get into the car, to park in the car right in front of the door because I don't want to waste my energy.
And oh my gosh.
It's funny. Like you go to a gym and people want to park as close as possible to that. But it's about using your self-control and having, whether you feel like it or not, letting your mind over your body. It's mortification, death to self. And this is why we appreciate the need for biblical disciplines, like what we just said, mortification, dying to self, small sacrifices here and there. I'm thirsty, I'm going to wait 15 minutes until I have my drink. You know, I'm hungry, I'm going to wait an hour until I eat. Fasting and praying even when we don't feel like. So this death to self is an instrument. It's a powerful instrument we can use not to be slave to anything.
I remember, again, reading a quote. I feel like this is just my, I remember reading on the internet. I can't give credit where credit is definitely due to someone, but it was fasting without prayer is just a diet. So I think what you've just said there, waiting that 15 minutes or waiting to eat a little bit, it's a really good time to bring it back to faith. Not just waiting because you should, because your body doesn't need it right now and you want to have control over your body, but remembering that that's an opportunity to pray as well. So it becomes fasting rather than just starving your body.
That's right. And it's about replacing one thing for another. Mm. So it's like giving up food and eating the word of God, you know, and this is why it's so important to replace things with higher cravings, you know, so like replace things that do us harm with things that are good, with things that help us. But all of this is easier said than done, because very often overeating and gluttony comes with because of psychological reasons, ultimately trying to replace something that is good with something else, and that is eating and distracting ourselves. And it comes down to a lack of self-love. And this is why it's important to seek help. Sometimes we need to realize that we cannot do this alone. I'm looking forward to an interview like this interview, which we actually, during this recording, haven't had yet.
Scandalous.
Yeah. So we're going to interview this guy, Father Ryan Rooney. Father Ryan is
better known as
Spinning Padre on the internet. He runs a spinning class on once a week. Anyway, we'll hear from him. But he suffered from obesity. He was obese and he used to punish himself by eating. And there's actually a documentary on YouTube about it, which has over 1 million views about his struggle with obesity. So I'm really looking forward to this interview. And in fact, Danny, unless you have anything else to say, or maybe sing us a song.
Oh, well, now that you've mentioned, I wouldn't sing. That's not fair. And we really do love our listeners, so I won't do that.
one day, after she goes to some singing lesson. Okay, so we're going to finish off this time of discussion together. And we're going to go into this interview with Father Ryan, who was a food addict and now has found victory, and also is helping, spending his life giving victory to others, helping to give victory to others to overcome this problem. In beautiful Bendigo, Australia, and in Springfield, Massachusetts, where we're interviewing Father Ryan Rooney. It's nighttime, he's getting ready for bed, but it's just an honor and a blessing to have Father Ryan with us on this podcast. So welcome, Father Ryan.
Thanks, Father Rob and Danny, for having me on Catholic Influencers.
It's good, because today we wanted to talk a little bit about food addiction and gluttony. And you'd think, why would we have a priest on to talk about food addiction and gluttony? You'd think either you'd get a sort of a nutritionist or someone else. But Father Ryan has an incredible story, about battling this, the demons, even as you mentioned in your video, about battling the demons of food addiction. So just quickly introduce yourself, if you would, Father, just where you are and what you do right now, and then we'll go into your amazing story.
Sure. As you mentioned, my name is Father Ryan Rooney, and I'm the pastor of Our Lady of the Sacred Heart Church in Springfield. And I just celebrated my 8th anniversary of priesthood on June 4th. Praise the Lord for that. But my story began well before I was ordained, just battling weight over my life, battling the death of my father and when I was 12, and a lot of things that you grew up with. I turned to food for comfort, and I was bullied in school for it, and never really dealt with the the obsession with food until well into my priesthood. And so I would, you know, of course, in seminary, you're looking at human formation, and I entered into various programs, and I've done the diets and the exercise programs and things, and got down to, you know, an okay weight. But when I entered into priesthood, the stress of ministry came on, and I was in a pretty unhealthy working relationship with my first pastor. And I turned to food and all of that in isolation. And when it became a real problem for me, was when I put on about 80 pounds. I don't know what that is in kilograms. I put on 80 pounds in the span of about 7 months. And it was pretty evident to my people and to my bishop that something was up. So my bishop called me into his office, and he sent me away to a program of recovery in a rehab center for priests and male religious in Rochester, Minnesota. And there I found a program of recovery. I found other brother priests who were struggling with other addictions. When I entered that rehab center, I was 464 pounds. At that time, I was morbidly obese. It was hard for me to get down to mass in the morning and to do regular things like put on my clothes. I would get very, you know, winded in things. And I entered with trepidation. I wanted to do my own program of recovery on my own time, but I was sent away by my bishop in good obedience. It was a hard thing for me to do. I had many things, you know. We connected as brother priests who love to sing, and I had some concerts planned at the time, and I had to give all of those things up and go out and work on myself. And so I found other brother priests there struggling, and that's really one of the keys to recovery, is finding out that there are other brother priests who are struggling in the world, and that they found recovery. And I found a 12-step program, and I learned how to eat, how to prepare meals for myself. And I kind of learned a little thing or two about the science of weight loss and calorie deficits, and began hitting the gym pretty hard. And I lost 100 pounds in 5 months all the way.
That's amazing.
And then after that, I came back into ministry, actually to this parish that I'm at now as a parochial vicar, and I lost another 145 pounds over the next year and a half.
Were your parishioners involved in the healing process when you came back to the parish?
Well, they definitely saw me halfway through the process of this transformation. You know, I was at this particular parish, but many other people had been praying for me while I was away and saw that transformation. And I had also, at that time, I started blogging about my experience. And so people started to come on the journey with me, if you will. And my people saw the transformation over that next year and a half.
Wow. And so when you had people seeing you going through this, was there any stigma, any shame, or did maybe actually even some, it could be something positive? They say, oh, wow, this priest is human just like us.
I experienced much of the latter, that people really saw me as a human person. I did a lot of humanizing, if you will, coming down from the pedestal of the priesthood while I was away. And so I saw my ministry blossom when I came back.
Wow.
But yes, definitely, you know, as someone who probably takes a lot of flack for attention to the gym, there's a lot of people that will be jealous of a program of recovery because they themselves are dealing with things. A program of recovery is it can be seen from the outside as a selfish act because you're working on yourself. And the amount of attention that I needed to spend on food preparation, on going to the gym to get where I was needed for me to operate, to live, to be a good and holy priest. But there are a lot of people that see, well, Father's not in the rectory or not in the office all the time. as something that's really selfish. I think to anyone outside of recovery, they really don't understand the amount of attention. But you know, the old dictum is true. You cannot give what you don't have. And if I don't possess myself as a wholly integral human person, body and soul, I can't give that to my people. And the reality was that I was dying on the job when I was 464 pounds. And now I was full of life. There was a new energy in my eyes. I started meeting people where they were. You know, I did a lot of ministry in the gym. You know, meeting people who needed the gospel in the gym. That, you know, the gym is a prime place for evangelization. One of the guys I worked out with a couple of years ago asked me to baptize his child. You know, just from that interaction. And I also started to develop my own love of fitness through it. I became a spin instructor, the more popular cardio exercises. Guys hate cardio. I just love it. And yes. I became really good at it.
You started running a class and you inviting people. Or did the gym invite you to start running these fitness classes?
Well, I don't work for a gym. First of all, I have to give that caveat. I work for the church, right? Yeah. And my attention is at the church. But what fit into my schedule on my day off was a time that worked for people that really wanted to start to see me blossom as an instructor. I decided to go get certified, and I just started teaching for my friends. And the relationship I had with the gym at the time was open enough that they allowed me to teach those people. And I've been teaching for a little over 2.5 years now. So we've got a pretty steady crew. Who am I? Going from being an obese, super obese individual to now training marathon runners and triathletes. That's a miracle of God.
That's God's grace right there.
But that's not everything. I think, you know, the topic at hand, and any fitness guru will tell you that weight loss is almost strictly diet. And that's really hard.
Yes.
It's really hard. Maintenance has become really hard for me. I'm struggling right now at this moment. And it brought me to a place of where I needed some extra accountability. And I found another brother priest who was in the same boat. And we created a social media ministry for priests called PriestFit three years ago, putting out a challenge to brother priests to start to eat clean, to be fit, and to pray well. And that really took off 3 years ago. And we're right now in a summer challenge, and I'm focused on that.
This is an initiative that you started. In fact, when we caught up and when I was in the United States, and we talked about this Priest Fit. So it's an initiative that you have started, which comes out of a compassion and an empathy as well for other priests, because very often priests don't have the opportunity, don't have the time, don't have the encouragement to look after their health. And that comes to the detriment of their ministry as well, because they cannot function well. Their mental health is affected by that. Your whole body is affected when you don't eat well, when your blood is not flowing. And even self-image is impacted. It's influenced. And the way we act and react and treat people as well is also influenced. And you saw that. You saw that need in priests to look after themselves. But we need to support one another and encourage one another in fitness. And so tell us a bit about what you do.
Sure. So we exist as a support group for other priests to learn the principles that Father Casey, my co-founder, and I have lived, have come to some recovery in. And we find other brother priests who are in the same boat where we were, and we plug them in to this community to be able to reach out, to stay accountable, to be exactly as you said it, to be those people to challenge each other along the path. You hit the nail on the head with regard to how priests get into a bad place in ministry. You can do a lot of research into this. Clergy across the board, not only Catholic, but in other religious circles, Protestant churches, people in ministry in general are very giving of themselves constantly to their people, that they don't take care of themselves. And I think also in the church, there's this sense of a Gnostic sense mm-hmm. of just care for the soul. And it's all about the soul. It's the saving of souls. You know, we hear that said all the time. And of course, the soul is the most important part of us, because this body will eventually die. But we who believe in the resurrection know that our bodies are going to be glorified. Yes. And our God has given our body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to take care of it. So all of the principles that, you know, I come from the John Paul II generation of priests, all of the principles of the theology of the body apply. We're body soul composites. You yes. don't take care of the body, your soul's going to be affected. Right? And so because of priest shortage, because of scandals in the church, priests are often seen as instruments now of you know, dispensaries of sacraments and things. And we get lost in ministry very easily by not taking care of ourselves. I think it's important to realize that priest health is super important for the longevity of the church. Also, we're the spiritual leaders of our congregations. If they see that we're not taking care of ourselves, how are we supposed to lead? How are we supposed to bring other people to full joy and abundance of life that our Savior wants us to have? So when we are doing that, it trickles down into the pews. I don't know how many times my story has impacted people in my parish to start
yes,
their
yes.
own journey. And then when I'm not living it, they hold me accountable.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
And so it all works in community as well. It builds community and it also builds our soul. So Father Ryan, just quickly, just words of advice, maybe you'd like to give to someone who maybe is struggling as well with the same thing. And also, as we conclude, just quickly where we can get in touch with you and with your work.
Sure. Well, you know, you started off saying the word gluttony. Gluttony, of course, is a sin. But for someone who is an addict, there is this lesson culpability. We need to recognize that food addiction is a true disease, and that there can be recovery, and that our God loves us and he wants us to come to full health. Take that first step in reaching out to another person who has been through it. There are 12-step programs out there available. Get in touch with your doctor, your nutritionist. And if you're a brother priest, you can find us at PriestBit. We're on all the social media platforms. We have a website, and we'd love to be there for you. Get together. That's the most important thing. As you said, community, community, community. We're one church. And Jesus is giving us his body and his blood to sustain us, a spiritual food to heal us, remain strong with the Lord, and you're going to find recovery through him.
Yeah, amen. And so, Father, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for making the effort to speak to us and sharing your heart. I know this is going to impact many people. Would you please give us your blessing as we finish off this podcast?
Sure. And I'm sorry I didn't get to talk to Danny much. Danny, you know what? My prayers go out to you. She's listening. Thank you. I just want to say in return.
Yeah, sorry. No, I want to acknowledge that Danny is here.
I have been here the whole time. And at one point I even muted my microphone and I was like, well, I'll turn it back up again just in case.
Well, it's lovely to have you here, Danny.
I'm really thankful
to be
here.
I know you're going to thank you for all you guys do for the new evangelization for the evangelation especially of your people in Australia. I thank Rob, for your fraternity in the priesthood and all you do to bring the light of Christ to the youth and to the people of the world. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Catholic Influences podcast. We love hearing from you, so please get in touch at frgministry.com/podcast or any of our social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at FRG Ministry. Until next time, God bless.